continuing on in the book of Philippians, chapter 4. It had been my intent to pick up the next two verses, kind of elide verse 18 and focus on 19. And I found I could not. So we are going to spend the day today on 18. So the apostle has continued to defer, if you will, a direct thank you in lieu of a spiritual gift giving that he has continually referred to, that he looks for the spiritual result, so to speak, of the giving from the Philippians, and the why and wherefore of that really comes to a culmination then in verse 18, which becomes necessary to understand and takes us much deeper really than we might have seen heretofore. I'm just going to read this 18th verse. We understand the setting. The setting is that they have given to provide for Paul's needs there in prison. There is a special bond between them, and he is acknowledging that they have given. He says, you've done well. He says, but I'm not seeking the gift. He says, I am independent, essentially, of outside sources, because God is providing for me, and now he's providing for me by means of you. But he says, but I do seek the spiritual, that which accrues to you from this gift. And then he describes in verse 18 more what that is. Verse 18, he says, indeed, I have all and abound. I am full, having received from Epaphroditus the things sent from you, a sweet-smelling aroma, an acceptable sacrifice, well-pleasing to God. So our job today then is to connect the two halves of this verse. Paul being full and abounding, and the sacrifice, if you will, the spiritual nature of that which is from the Philippians. And that is a necessary, there is a physical and a spiritual side of the same action. And that is important for us. So the first thing that we notice is how down to earth the apostle is getting here. He's still speaking well of the gift, and he's still not directly praising the givers at all. He's saying, I'm full. I'm abounding. There's not the slightest hint of a pat on the back. Having received, what does he call it? A sweet-smelling aroma, an acceptable sacrifice. There's no direct praise there whatsoever. Now notice, at least we have, when we receive a gift of some sort, we have some kind of things that we say that cover the situation and deal with the fullness or lack thereof of that which we have received. And part of that, we usually say something like, it's the thought that counts, whether it actually has done the job. It's the thought that counts. Thank you very much. Notice that Paul doesn't, per se, speak to either of those. He's giving it extremely real. He is certainly saying, this is meeting my needs. It's very direct there. I have all and abound. But he refuses to turn that around and say, per se, hey, you've done good. What he is saying is, the Lord has provided for me by you. He immediately is putting it into a different frame of reference. He translates it from a human-to-human act to a human-to-God act. That's the nature of this translation that he is performing here by saying, I have all and abound. That which you have done is a, notice he says a sacrifice. A sacrifice is by no means a human-to-human act. It is a human-to-God act, period. A sacrifice is offered to Almighty God. Where's a human being in that? That's a human being who is offering. But the humans around are not involved. They're just not. So when we have this kind of a mundane thing, I mean, it was monumental in the Philippians to Paul situation, but as soon as Paul translates it to the God axis, it's a different situation, and immediately we have to say, why is this possible or appropriate? Why is this possible or appropriate? The Philippians are giving to Paul. It's not like they had some ceremony in which they took this, you know, pile of whatever it was they gave, I suppose money, and had this ceremony and gave it to God. And then had it in this special dedicated cask. This is God's cask, right? And took this God cask and gave it to Paul and said, "Oh, this God cask is to you." Come on, man. This was a bag of money. It went from the Philippians, you know, and they had to plan. A very, very human thing. They probably had to sacrifice. A very human set of actions to gather this money to say, who's going to, Epaphroditus? Okay, let's get this going. Very human. And Paul is taking it out of, in that sense, the human realm. Why is that appropriate? It shows, my answer is, and this is what is useful for us potentially today, it shows our real position in God's creation. That's what is being said by God there in Psalm 50. Everything is God's already. Physical things. Events of my life. Therefore, because that is true, I am to view it that way because it is that way. I am to mediate. I am to act toward God in all of the pieces of my life. And that is what Paul is saying that they have done. He's saying, I have received this from God. You have given it to God. That's a sacrifice, right? It's only appropriate because it's real. Otherwise, it's some horrendous, hideous fiction. So something that is ordinary as gift giving now becomes a kind of a ritual sacrifice. There was no sacrifice, certainly in the Old Testament, that a man could just kind of make up. Right? They would kill you in Old Testament Israel if you said, well, I'm just going to do this. Oh, yeah? Well, try it. And they would, at least they should, have put you to death. You can't just make up a sacrifice. This is God commanded and appropriate. When Paul says this is a sacrifice, this must be God commanded and appropriate. But something that as ordinary as gift giving becomes a sacrifice. What the apostle is saying is that life is to be lived in that sense to and from and through God. To the extent that I am not taking my life from God, giving my life to God, I'm not doing that which is real. If I'm living on this horizontal, human to human, physical level, I'm living like a pagan. I'm living like a not Christian person. I've kind of made the big picture, and I want to take it apart as we go through here. What is the nature of that translation that we can make intellectually and spiritually to say that a something as mundane as a gift, as appropriate as that would be on the human level, there is this love relationship and this need that was there with Paul. You say, well, that's obvious. That's appropriate. And the apostle kind of will have nothing of it. So we need to see how do we get from the normal, natural, let's meet a need, to the giving of to God instead of merely to Paul. So what can we say about a sacrifice and how that fits the situation? What is this translation then from the physical to the spiritual? He's describing this giving as a sacrifice. What are the elements of a sacrifice? First of all, it's a solemn ritual. Secondly, it's a giving to God. Thirdly, it's an act of worship. If we can find those elements in this setting, the way that at least that Paul is describing it, now we are getting somewhere and we have a template for life. We have a template for life. So instead of my living life on a physical plane and sometimes sending pings up to God, I'm called on to live life in a spiritual plane which happens to have physical attributes. Different thing. So the first thing is that a sacrifice, as I said, is a solemn ritual. You couldn't just kind of say, well, you know, I'm going to call my breakfast this morning a sacrifice, and certainly in the Old Testament setting. It was that which God had prescribed, and it was to be done in the way that He prescribed. It had a solemnity about it. Certainly Abraham and the patriarchs sacrificed as God commanded them, and kind of where God commanded them. But as soon as the Mosaic law came in, He said, you shall no longer sacrifice anywhere except that place where God has put His name. Can't do it. So you bring it to the tabernacle, or later the temple. And not only do you bring that to that place, but you do the kinds of sacrifices prescribed in the law. And those were very, should we say, ritualized. The priesthood was involved. You might kill your own sacrifice, but the result of the animal would be put the right places and burned the right way, or parts of it put outside the camp. It was done a particular way in God's presence. It was very solemn. It was clear that God was telling me of what to do. And the apostle is saying, this is this mundane action. Is that? Secondly, it's a giving to God. That is a almost a nonsensical statement, right? Can you give to God? And that's kind of what that psalm that we just read says. God says, I own everything. Can you add to that which God has? That's His point, saying, I have all this. He says the cattle on a thousand hills. The word thousand is clearly a stand-in for everything. It's not just saying, well, the thousand and first isn't. He's saying, everything is mine. How can you give to God? That's Job 41:11 speaks of that. It says, He is first and He has all. Who has preceded me that I should pay Him? Everything under heaven is mine. So Psalm 50 is a recognition of that. We give to God that which is His. Because it is His already, it makes appropriate giving to God first. And that is the basis then for this statement about this is a sweet-smelling sacrifice . First Chronicles 29 says the same in essence. I just want to get it clear that we're not just having an isolated statement, this kind of an outlier in the scriptures. 1 Chronicles 29, but who am I and who are my people that we should be able to offer so willingly as this? For all things come from You, and of Your own we have given You. This was not a sacrifice per se. This was giving for, I believe, the temple. So this is a free will offering. And the statement is, we can't see this in a mundane, merely human physical level. We must see that first, because it was already God's. In the passage that we see in Psalm 50 that we looked at, puts it in a similar context, but not exactly the same. It's not merely that God has. It is certainly that God has. So if a sacrifice is a giving, what does that mean? Psalm 50 at the end says, offer to God the sacrifice of, get the verbiage right here. Offer to God thanksgiving. If I am receiving from Almighty God, not merely that He owns it, but that He is giving in a free manner all that I have, and that requires, again, a repudiation of the 10 A's of evolution. Oh, well, let me just kind of adapt it to what's here. No, a good God is giving good things to His creation. And what is owed back then, because all comes from His hand, what is owed back in that context is thanksgiving. My response to Him being the source of all things, but it's not just kind of all things and, oh, life is terrible and I can't stand this. God gives good gifts to all His creatures. My response of necessity, then, is thanksgiving. This sacrifice is the sacrifice of thanksgiving. And that's what we see from these Philippians. Yes, they're meeting a need, but they're saying, Lord, You have been showering me. I owe. I have this responsibility in some sense to give. How do I express that? There is a real response of gratitude, which is just sacrifice of the lips. But it also expresses itself in more tangible forms. But as the apostle is saying, it is first to God and then outward. First to God. If it is first outward, number one, you will deplete yourself completely because there is enough evil in this world that will just drain us out. So it must be to God and say, who am I? Where am I? Where has He put me? And what does it look like to express that gratitude? God Himself is the source of all things. As the Apostle says in Romans 11, who is first given to Him? Shall it be repaid to Him? Says God. For of Him, and through Him, and to Him are all things. To whom be glory forever. So what the apostle is stating here, by taking from a strictly human point of view, taking a mundane action, albeit a loving action, and calling it a sacrifice, If he puts God first, what does it do to that action? That's what we need to say. It takes it, in some sense, out of the merely human realm. What does it do to it? I think that those scoffers who say, well, your religion is pie in the sky, and you're doing more of that. You're taking every action out of the human realm, and you're making it a merely spiritual action, fooey on you. Well, the response to that is, because God is first and owns all things, does not make giving useless or unimportant. Instead, it elevates it. That's what the apostle is saying. It had utility. Keep my body and soul together. But it has infinitely more value offered first to God, who is, after all, the first source of all things. Remember the Lord Jesus. The week prior to his entrance into Jerusalem, and he was anointed then with that costly spice. And there was this argument among the disciples. What's this? I mean, this is, what are you doing that for? And he says, she has done what she could. She's done a good thing to me. And that is this is costly from a human point of view, but how much more valuable bestowed on the Son of God. And that is what the apostle is saying. You have presented this to God in Christ. How much more valuable. You notice in the passage that we read in Matthew, exactly the same thing. There were these human acts that the Lord Jesus refers to. And believers see the Lord Jesus involved in other believers, and because of Christ, they act. And that's what this wisdom was. The least of these. It's not, the value has to do now with the Father. The value does not have to do with the recipient or the intrinsic value of the gift. Remember the widow's mite? It's not the value of the gift. It's the outlook. It's the sacrificial outlook in the sense of looking to Him in the giving. And lastly, it's an act of worship. An act of worship. What was a sacrifice? It was, in the Old Covenant, it was a physical act performed toward God. As I say, a sacrifice had no other meaning otherwise. I mean, you can kill an animal out in the field. This was a physical action performed toward God. But it was commanded. And here, it's commanded in Christ. Because of Christ, toward Christ. It's not some generic, well, I've gotten some good stuff, let me give away some of it. No, it's all from Him. As the Lord Jesus said to the disciples, freely you have received, freely give. There is a recognition that it's all from Him and He's giving it in a bountiful manner. What does that look like then? It has to do with a sense of if an Old Testament believer was offering a sacrifice, what does that look like?